Father, we honor you, we praise you, and we thank you. You're worthy, God. Send your word, preach your word, get me out of the way so you can have your way. In Jesus' name, we do pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. What cup came with your calling? Nobody that's serious about the journey with Jesus gets a free ride. Everybody got to go through something. But there's different types of cups and different size cups. But what is it that God called you to do for his glory with your life? Understandably, that none of us will ever go through what Jesus went through, because Jesus was called to take it all, to take in all the sin of the world, past, present, and future. And he had to deal with all that and take all that to everything the cross had to give him to become the Savior of the world. So we'll never have to go through that level of persecution and trial and tribulation. But even though we'll never be called to be the Savior, God still calls us to do things that are important and things that impact the kingdom of God. We have to take some challenges on this journey. But if you're committed enough on the journey, you're committed and won't quit. When you're committed, you've got to be determined to complete your assignment. One thing every Christian needs to remember, especially during the most challenging parts of our lives, is that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God knows just how much you can bear. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." But I know how we feel. Being aware of these scriptures probably won't make the mission any easier. But what it does, it provides a perspective and reminds us as Christians that what we're going through is meaningful and not meaningless. Whether we understand it or not, the fact that God is in it makes it worthwhile. Most times on the journey, we see through a clear glass darkly. We're trying to figure that thing out. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure it out, but just know sometimes God won't show you everything. I know with me, when you get there, he'll show, like he did Abraham. Go and I'll show you the mountain. Anybody stuck because God didn't show you everything? And you mad with him and said, "Lord, until you show me everything, I'm not going to move." And God said, "Well, I'm not going to move either." Now, who the boss? But sometimes we want to see the whole picture. And really, I found out you really don't want to see the whole picture. Because there's some stuff that you and I have to go through in order to get to a thing called destiny and victory. And if God showed us the whole thing, we will not move. We'll be frozen with fear. But as you go on the journey, each step gives you the power or the ability or the confidence to take the next step. See, each victory gives you some other victory to win. Lord have mercy. You when you're dealing with God, you got to trust him. You won't see it. It's all by faith. We walk by faith and not by faith. God, I'll be honest with you. I said, "God, I don't see it." He said, "Good. I designed it where you couldn't see everything, because then you wouldn't know it's me. If you knew everything and knew how you want to handle it, you wouldn't need me. I'm God. You gave yourself to me. Therefore, let me direct your life." It's a scary thing sometimes when you've been in control and when you give somebody else control. I had to get used to cruise control in the car like that. I put the thing on cruise control and it took the brake from me, the gas pedal from me. Whoa! That's a strange feeling. When the gas pedal moves off your foot. Jesus. Then you got to trust folk. You have to trust your employer. That they got money in the bank. So that when you, time you get paid, they will have a check. You know, folk lose their Christianity if you don't have a check. Well, I know we saved, but don't mess with folk money. Because sometimes money make you get unsaved or something. You know what I mean? Mess with folk.
But I believe each assignment from God has its own cup attached to it. What cup came with your calling? What are you currently experiencing on your Christian journey that has a cup attached to it, and you really not too particular about drinking this cup? But God said the cup is part of it. Oh, my God. Amen. In order to get there, you got to take what go with it. And no pick and choose. This is not menu Christianity. This is not smorgasbord Christianity. This is not get your plate, walk down the line, and help yourself to what you want. This is get in line and say, God, here I am. Help yourself to me. But all of my help come from the Lord. This is what we're going because somewhere somebody said, because God is so loving, merciful, and gracious, that everything on the journey is supposed to be easy. People tell folk that. Just accept Jesus. It's not easy, but it's possible. We don't want to go through nothing. We got to go through something. Matter of fact, if you unsaved, you're going to go through something. Well, you might as well go through something to have an end in sight, have something to get at the end of a pile of gold at the end of the rainbow or something. Why go through for nothing? Add some meaning to this thing. Why have a challenging relationship if ain't nothing at the end of that thing? My Lord. Why serve Jesus if it's not true? Why come to church if you ain't going to get nothing out of it? What is this thing we're going through? But each assignment from God has its own cup. What cup came with your calling? What are you going through right now? And you said, Lord, have mercy. If I had known this, Jesus. Somebody said, Pastor, if I had known we were kids, what cup are you going through? Father, if I had known that ministry would cause me to be up praying all hours of the night and reading your word and coming out the Bible study and trying to get to know you better and how to try to make sense out of God, if I had known, I would have gave you that cup back. But you made the cup look so pretty. It's not the outside. It's what's inside of the cup that gets you. It's not the outside of the cup. It's what God put in it for you. And sometimes you know you won't really see what's in the cup until you get to the point where you need to see what's in the cup, because then you have to make a determination if you're going to go through with this thing. And then you say, Lord, I don't believe you brought me this far just to leave me. If you got 20 steps, you're on step 18, you're going to look in that cup and look back like, I don't come this far. God called you to do something. He called me to do something. What is it that you have to endure? These questions are not to say that there's no joy in the journey, because a lot of times when we preach, we paint such a sad picture. There's some joy in the journey. Yes, it is. Every day ain't messed up. I wish I had a witness. Every day is not all screwed up and messed up. Amen. Everything ain't all down. We just have a tendency just to give that part of the testimony. But there's some days we ought to come in and say, Lord, ain't nothing happened this week. I'm glad about it. Glory be to God. Matter of fact, God, so much stuff happened in my life, I wait for the other shoe to fall. Monday came, then nothing happened. Tuesday came, I look all around, I try to make something happen. By the time Wednesday came, I call and try to stir some stuff myself. I'm so used to being in trouble. All your journey, you're not going to be in trouble all the time. There's some good days and some bad days. But sometimes stuff gets serious. I found that as you get closer to what God wants you to do, or the destiny, or where he's trying to take you, stuff really gets crazy. And it seemed like, it ought to be easy because you know it. And you've been on it for a while. But it seemed like the enemy, don't want you to get there because there's spiritual warfare going on. The enemy does not want you and I to achieve what God has called us to achieve because it has a negative impact on the darkness. It has a negative impact on Satan's kingdom. And he doesn't want us to be successful. So what he does is he try to get in there and throw some stuff. He'll throw some stuff in your marriage, some stuff in your kids, some stuff in your ministry, some stuff on your job, stuff you ain't never heard of, ain't never seen. You don't know where they came from with all this stuff. All of a sudden, Monday, everything was fine. You got the job. Wednesday, everybody hating you. That's the enemy trying to mess you up, trying to distract you, trying to get you all confused and all what they call discombobulated, trying to get you messed up. And you already know what God told you. That's one thing. You know what God told you. You set out, I'm going to do what God told me to do, and lo and behold, here come everything. And it seemed like before we said yes to the Lord, everything was fine. Everything was falling our way.
It really wasn't. We were just numb to the reality that we were in Satan's grip. And everything wasn't really falling our way. We were falling away. But as soon as we accepted Christ, there became another reality. See, when you accept Christ, the dead person becomes alive. Your spirit person becomes alive. And that's what begins to tell you. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to your spirit person and tells you what to do. And the enemy gets mad. He said, look here, wait a minute. You didn't even give me 2 weeks notice that you was moving out. You just got up, went somewhere, heard about Jesus, and then left. You left all your old stuff, all your old mess. You left it all. You left it. And the devil said, you're going to do something. You say, look here, enemy, you ought to have got me when you had me. Because I'm gone now. Oh, when God give you a taste of him, you won't go back. Hallelujah. Oh, once you leave Egypt, ain't nothing left there for you. So I put a for sale sign up. I ain't coming back. I'll live on the streets while I go back to Egypt. I wish I had a witness. If ain't nothing there for you, and everything is over on this side, I'm not going back on that other side. Ain't nothing back there for me. Each assignment from God has its own cup. But there's something about being able to shout victory when you complete your assignment. That is so powerful, you're able to shout victory. And you know what you've been through. Can't nobody give you a testimony? As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't understand what you're going through. That's why they look at you like you're crazy. Talk about, I don't know what he's going through. I don't know what she... Because you can't even articulate it sometimes. Amen. You in it, and you can't even explain it because God's in it. When God does stuff, you get it. There's no words in the English, no words in any language, English or foreign, no word in a dictionary that can explain what God is doing. All you know is you're going through it, and the only way you're going through it is because God is with you. Anybody here been through something and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would not have been able to get through it had God not been on your side? You know it's God. You know it's him. You can tell yourself, Lord, 5 years ago, Lord, have mercy. I know what I would have done. That's the way we talk to ourselves. You know it's God when you start going back in your mind and say, I know how I used to deal with stuff, Lord. I know it's you, Lord. You in there. Talking about keep my mouth shut. Lord, I was ready to go clean my gun and sharpen my knife. And as we take a closer look at John 18, let us consider these points. Number one, Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Sometimes you don't get betrayed, you know, by somebody that's been with you. But guess what? It's part of the plan. Sometimes if God don't show you who it is that's close up on you, you'd be blindsided, be messed up. Judas' betrayal of Jesus. Number two, Jesus' response to the betrayal. Number two, Jesus' response to the betrayal. And then number three, Jesus' response to Peter's reaction. Number one, Judas' betrayal of Jesus. Number two, Jesus' response to the betrayal. And number three, Jesus' response to Peter's reaction. Peter had a reaction. I don't blame him, because when you love somebody, you have a reaction. Somebody start messing with him. Somebody mess with your kids. I think I hit something there. All you had to do was come tell me. Never mind. Amen. Amen. That's a whole nother message. Let me get down with John 18. Let me stay in the book here. Look at Judas's betrayal of Jesus. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth, 18:1, with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. What I like about Jesus is Jesus always knew that Judas was going to be the one, but Judas may not have always known that he was going to be the one. And what Jesus wanted Judas to know was, even though you're going to be the one, you don't really have to be the one. Because really, Jesus said, I am the one. So if you want to be one with me, you don't really have to be the one. But Judas was all wrapped up in here, and he was hanging with the disciples. Everywhere the disciples went, he went. You got some folk that hang with you that they really don't want you to make it. But God tell you right now, don't say nothing. Because I put them there for a purpose. I put them there for a reason. God said, don't say nothing yet. Just go on with it. Because, you know, you can't tear. You are not supposed to remove the wheat and the tear. It's not your job to tear.
Because wheat and tares, they look alike until you uproot them. But God said, I'll handle the tares because you don't know, they might turn to wheat. You don't know who's hanging around you who might just be blessed and turn their life over to Christ. So don't get mad with them yet, even though they keep the money in the bag and everything. Judas, you know how he was. But don't worry about that. You know, you got some other folks that's with you, and they need to know also, you know, some things about God. But we look at the worst people in the worst way. There's some people we let them slide because they're all right, because it's something like us. And Judas was also a betrayer. He knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. And Jesus wasn't hiding anything because you know what? Jesus, I don't have to hide because you're going to do what you want your heart tell you to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, I'm not going to say all y'all come except Judas. My God. And he knew it. Jesus knew that. Everybody come. Judas, go to store. Because he was a treasure. Go to the store and get us some Kit Kats or something. You know what I mean? And Judas coming back looking for them. They all up in the garden. Got sitting somewhere. He's looking for them. Standing around going in a circle. Talking about, I got the Kit Kats. Where y'all at? You know. But look at verse 3. Judas then having received a band of men and officers. Remember, he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He came with some officers and the chief priests and Pharisees. And they had lanterns and torches and weapons. Wow. See, once somebody gets dark in their heart, my God, you be standing up, all I did for you, they don't care. Lord, have mercy. You know the folk like that out there. He had all these lanterns and torches and priests and soldiers. But what did Jesus respond? What was Jesus' response? Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, Jesus, therefore, knowing what God calls him to do. How about you and I? Do we know what God calls us to do so that when things come against us, how do we really react? I'm not saying Jesus was happy about being betrayed, but sometimes when you're walking for the Lord, there's got a cup, and within the cup is somebody close to you betraying you. That's part of the journey. That's in the cup. You got to get hurt sometimes. There's people in here, you had surgery, and you can show me the scar, but you're feeling better. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, wait a minute, he went forth to them. They got lanterns and torches and weapons. They soldiers, and Jesus went forth to them. And said unto them, whom seek ye? You don't hear Jesus say nothing about, I can't believe you, Judas. I can't believe you betrayed me. My father going to get you. Because when you're going to read later on in the scriptures, you're going to fall and bust your head wide. Oh, come on. That's why God don't let you know people's end. Because we would have tell them, go ahead. That's all right. Do it. God going to get it. No, Jesus said, whom seek ye? That's his response to the betrayal. Whom seek ye? Because somewhere he understood in order for him to get to the cross, he had to go through some stuff. In order for you and I to get to where God would have us go, you got to go through some stuff. Nobody's exempt. And I'm not saying we ought to be around here embracing trials and embracing tribulations, but know the reality of the situation is that there's a spiritual warfare going on, and you on the Lord's side, and all this other stuff, darkness is trying to come against you, trying to get you to fail and fall. But because you're determined to make it, you got to go through some stuff. His response, he said, whom seek ye? Look at verse 5. They answer him, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah. Why would they come with weapons? Why do people come at you like they come at you? Because they have realized how powerful you are. When you determine to go on with the Lord, that determination speaks something else to the enemy. Oh, my God. They answered him, we're seeking Jesus now. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. See, sometimes folk will stand on the wrong side because they think that's the winning side. If you don't have a proper relationship with Jesus, if you don't really know who he is, what he's doing in your life, you'll be standing on the wrong side sometimes. Lord have mercy. But you have to notice in Judas' life and our life, every time you find yourself on the wrong side, there is an opportunity called grace to get on the right side. What are you saying? As soon as he had said to them, I am he, they went back when they fell to the ground. That would have told me something. Yes. I would have wondered, anytime he said, I am he, they like. If I was Judas, I would say, look here, boys. Can I get my money back? There's been a mistake up in here. They went back when they fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you. You know you can't back down. If you're on the journey for the Lord, if you're determined and committed, you won't back down. Whom seek ye? The previous verse said, Jesus known all things that should happen unto him. God was revealing stuff to him. Said, who seek ye? I told you I'm him. Therefore, if you're looking for me, let these go away. I love Jesus. Don't hurt them if you're looking for me. Let them go. I'm the one. I'm the one that came that you might have life and have it more abundant. I'm the one that came and chased everybody out the temple. I'm the one that healed the woman with the issue of blood. I'm the one that's been turning this Jerusalem upside down. I'm the one that's been challenging the Pharisees. And that I'm the one. I'm discipling them. I'm teaching them. So if you ask me, I'm the one. I'm the head teacher. I'm the rabbi. I'm the reason why everything's all messed up in the city. Let them go. That the same might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. In John 17:2, which is literally the Lord's Prayer. So Judas betrayed him. Jesus' response to the betrayal wasn't, Judas, I can't believe it. It was like, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? It's deep because if Judas is standing with those coming after Jesus, the question is asked to Judas also. Who are you looking for, Judas? Evidently, you don't know who I am. Oh, God. And then Jesus responds to Peter, because Peter, you know how Peter was. Peter, you know, he was a fisherman, so that knife he had, I think it must have been to cut up some flounder or something with him. Tilapia. He filet over here. You know, filet no human being. He's talking about filet. He had a filet-o knife, huh? Yeah. This Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But you got to remember in Luke 22, around like the 50-something verse, Jesus healed his ear. He put the... That's deep. God. Jesus, he's my hero. Because I don't know if I could have put the man's ear back on and healed it. If I did, I say, Peter, you just cut his ear off. Can you get a little neck for me, brother? But since Jesus knew what he had to go through, he knew the cup that was assigned to his mission. He said, no, Peter, we're not going to do it like that. He said, Peter, put your sword in the sheath. The question was, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Sometimes folk close to you, they see you going through something, and they want to help you, and they hurt you. He told Peter one time before, he told Peter, I'll get ready to go to court. Peter, no, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Sometimes folk are trying to help you, and they blocking your blessing. Not on purpose. But Peter thought he was doing the right thing. He's defending his Lord and defending his Savior. And the Savior said, this is my cup. This is the cup that my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? And Jesus is not saying, I love, you know, misery and trial, tribulation. He's saying, this is my assignment. Anybody got an assignment in here? Don't you know you can't keep on giving somebody else your assignment? There's something that you can't defer.
It's your assignment. You need to do it. You need to walk in it. You need to learn it. God gave it to you. We sit around talking about, but God, you ain't taking nobody else through this. How do you know? How do you know what God is taking everybody else through? But there's some people in this congregation, they had to drink some bitter cups in order to move on. God said, if you can't drink this, you can't move on. You'll get stuck right here. But Jesus told Peter, put this sheath away. This is the cup, my father. This is what God wants me to do. Shall I not drink it? Lord, have mercy. What is God calling you? What is it? What cup came with your calling? The more you walk in this life with Christ, and the more you read and meditate on God's word to understand how God deals with you and how God speaks to you and what God has called you to do, you're going to go through some stuff. But you got to get to know Him. You really got to get to know Him for yourself. There's going to come a time when you just need to know, God, how do you, God doesn't speak to everybody the same way. God doesn't move in everybody's life the same way. But you need a relationship to know how He moves in your life. I believe there's a cup or certain cups that must be endured if you're going to complete the assignment and be able to shout victory. It's probably not unusual that the closer you get to completion, the closer you get to your destiny, the closer you get to your victory, the more bitter the cup and the more critical it is for you and I to drink the cup. If our cup is part of the victory. It's like you can't get the victory unless you drink the cup. Like you can't pass the cup. You got to go through the cup to get the victory. That's why Jesus told Peter to put up his sword. This is my assignment for my Father. Shall I not drink it? But guess what? Jesus struggled like you and I struggle. Because before Jesus told Peter what he told him in John 18:11, don't forget the setting is the Garden of Gethsemane. You got to turn with me to Matthew 26 because Jesus was going through something. Don't be upset because you struggle. Because you struggle don't mean you're weak. Probably mean you got some good sense. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Look at Matthew 26 and 36. Look what happened to Jesus before he was able to say to Peter, put that sword back. Before he was able to say to Judas and those that came to get him, who you seek? I am he. Sometimes you got to go to God, the Father that gave you the assignment. You got to go to Him first to get your strength so you can go tell them, I am He. So you can tell your friends, no, put that sword away. No, don't fight that one for me. No, I need to go to this. This is my cup. Look at Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. John didn't picked this up in his gospel. This is where they were. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Here come the cup, y'all. If it be possible. See, in John 18, he already been strengthened. But before John 18, he's in the garden saying, I'm agonizing over this thing. This thing ain't easy. But as you get closer to the victory, closer to destiny, stuff gets deeper and tougher. But you can still go to the throne of grace. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? I think I said this several times before. It's your assignment. And if nobody else wants to do your assignment but you, guess what? It's your assignment. Sometimes your friends and family can't stay up all night long. It's your assignment. If they fall asleep, it's still your assignment. You can't go to God and say, God, they won't stay awake and pray with me. God, I didn't give them your assignment. This is your cup. Sometimes we look for people too many times to help us out of stuff, and God says, I'm all the help you need right now. I made them go sleep because I wanted it to be just me and you. I didn't mind you bringing them here. But as you came in a little farther into the garden, I just wanted to be me and you.
As a matter of fact, when I gave you your assignment, they were not around.
Oh, my God. 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. Thy will be done.
You take all that and take it over to John 18. You got to strengthen Jesus. You got to renew Jesus. You got to empower Jesus. Who are y'all looking for? I've been to the garden. I got what I need. I heard what I needed to hear. Who are y'all looking for? My God, I've been strengthened. I've been reminded. I've been renewed. Hallelujah. Jesus is ready with all of my help. I and the Father are one. Whatever He sent me to do, I'm going to do it. You and I need to do this. You need to learn how to go to your prayer closet sometime. Stop trying to fight the battle on yesterday's fuel. Go get tanked up again. God, this bitter cup. God, this bitter cup. God said, yeah, it's bitter. But I know something better. If you can just get to your destiny. So by the time you get to John 18, Jesus is all right. He ain't messed up no more. He said, nevertheless, if the only way I can get to the cross, which I came to do, is to drink this cup, hey, give me the cup. Give me the cup. There's somebody here today, God's got you going through something. And He's saying, the only way you're going to get to where I want you to get to, you're going to have to drink the cup. And He said, I already know Judas and the Judettes. Come on. It ain't all the brothers now. Some sisters is rough too. The Judases and the Judettes have betrayed you. But you need to be strengthened. You need to know that I called you for such a time as this. I said, Lord, most of the time, the stuff you call us to is not for us. It's for somebody else. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He had not committed sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. All the stuff that you and I go through, the calling of our lives, the cups we have to drink, when you finish drinking the cup and you get to the place where God wants you to get to, it's to bless somebody else. But God says, my son, you got to understand that if everybody drink the cup they're supposed to drink, whatever you need going to be in the body of Christ. Because everybody's reaching where I need them to be so you can take care of one another. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. But because you struggle don't mean you're defeated. Doesn't mean you're weak. It simply means you need some help. Some are so proud we don't want to ask for no help. Sometimes you need to ask for some help. I know you all that. Hallelujah. But sometimes you need some help because this is a spiritual thing. This is not physical. This is spiritual. I know you pumping at Bally's. Cool. But this is spiritual. This ain't got nothing to do with the treadmill. Ain't got nothing to do with bench pressing. This is a spiritual warfare. So you got to go on with the Lord. But look what Jesus went through in the garden. Look what He had to do before Judas and them came. I don't think Jesus could have said that had they come a little earlier while He was in prayer. That's something about when you're in prayer with God. When you come out of prayer, Lord have mercy. You might come out, you know, your eyes might be red, hair might be messed up, clothes all wrinkled, but your spirit is strengthened and renewed. And you're saying, God, I'm glad that you were there. But you were there all the time. Because every now and then, God, I get tired. Don't be. You can get tired on the journey. It's all right. You don't have to walk around being this spiritual muscle lady or muscle man all the time. And God can handle you and I getting tired and getting frustrated and getting confused. Just come to Him. When you're in class, you're in school, you're in college, the professor said, why do you go to everybody else? Why did you come to me? I gave you the assignment. Why do you go to everybody else? God said, you can always come back to me.
But if you're committed to finish the journey, you will. And some of us in here, y'all going through some stuff. But guess what? You're going to get through it. Because God already showed you the end of it. You're just trying to wait. Lord, Jesus. You ever been through something? You're like, Lord, when will this thing be over? Lord, have mercy. But God said, I got you. I'm going to renew you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You got to always go back to the throne of God, to the throne of grace. Say, God, I need it. Don't matter how many times you got to go. Nobody's keeping score. We got our own cups. I can't be looking at you and what you're going. I can pray with you and pray for you, but you still got to drink the cup. I don't care how many intercessors you have. You're still your cup. If your name is on your cup, God said, I want you to go through this. And you want to, God, I've done everything you told me to do. Why? God said, because I need you to go. I need you to learn. I need you to do something. I need you to be something. I need you to show somebody how great I am. Ask Job what he went through. Ask Jesus what he went through. But I believe that what Jesus did, he had to get the nevertheless so he could get to Calvary. And it wasn't any easier. It seemed that the cup got a little bit more bitter. But Jesus went on and did what he needed to do. They hung him high and stretched him wide. Oh, they whipped him. They messed him up. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said, when we see him, nobody would desire him. They said the flesh was torn off. You could see his bones in the hot sun, blood and everything dripping out of his body. And the way they had him up on the cross, you didn't get no bathroom break. I wish I had a witness up in here. But he had never committed any sin. What are you up there for? For me? And for you. Think about that. People around, ain't nobody ever done nothing for me. Are you a Christian? Well, let me remind you. If you want somebody to do something for you, let me introduce you to a man named Jesus. Because the very life that you have right now, whether you like it or not, Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. Oh, they messed him up. Whipped him, stripped him, beat him, lied, spit on him, crown of thorns. They pierced him in his side. But because he had gone to the Father and the Father was in control, he was in control. He gave his life up. They come around saying, Jesus said, he gave up the ghost. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. I think our parents taught us when you borrow something, you ought to get back. And you ought to get it back in good condition. Good condition. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. But I don't think the people that they got the tomb from, I don't think they thought they would get it back or get it back so quick. I mean, you lend somebody something, they might be a week or so. Jesus did this thing in 3 days. And understand, when he got up, it was all knee, he folded up the neck. Bad dude, ain't he? Oh, he got stuff under control. But you got to understand that on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. Because he had already dealt with the cup. Somebody, your lips are on the cup, and you almost finished drinking it. It's almost your third day. You're about ready to get up with the victory and all power in your hands because God is with you. What cup came with your calling? Your calling. You cannot take the calling and give it to somebody else. And you know who God is. Sometimes you say, God, I hear you calling me, but I ain't ready yet. He said, okay, I'll call you back when your line ain't busy. Put me in your cell phone. That's why the songwriter took another lesson and said, it is well with my soul. That's hymn number 255. There's a songwriter took it and said, you know, when peace like a river, I'm closing out, y'all, attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, there it is, thou hast taught me to say, it is what? with my soul. Not as well with my physical body. It's well with my soul. Though Satan should bust it, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded. He's thinking about us. I know the plans that I have for you. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well. I know folk won't look at you like you're crazy. Because they know what you're going through. You're talking about it's well. No, what you mean is, well, man, last week, man, you was going through, you was around the altar crying. They gave you two boxes of tissues and you lay and roll on down the coming. It's well. I heard from my Jesus. It's well. Don't be ashamed. Sometimes stuff will hit you. But until you get to the right time to pray and get in there, you come out of that thing. You say, you know what? All right. Okay. Good. All right. I'm going to make this day. I'm going to drink this cup. I'm going to shout the victory on this day. Because guess what? I never walk alone. He's with me. He'll never leave me. That power that you feel, that empowerment, that the Holy Spirit sits by Jesus. He said, I must go back so the Holy Spirit can empower you. That's what you feel, the power of God. Oh, when you walk out of something, when you walk into the church and you feel something falling off you, that's the power of God telling you it's going to be all right. I don't need to know who I'm talking to, teaching or preaching to today. I just know it is well. God got you. Oh, yes. Young or old, God got you. You've been through some stuff, but guess what? You're almost at the end. Do not throw in the towel. Do not give up. Hold on. You're almost at the end. Matter of fact, there's just a little bit left in your cup. Oh, he won't let you go. He will not let you go. Don't try to understand. You understand it better by and by. My soul looks back in wonder how I got over. And you've been through some stuff already, so each victory helped you some other victory to win. You've been through some stuff. Somebody been in some accidents, and God spared your life. Doctor told you had one thing. They went back, checked the x-ray, and couldn't find it. Somebody else said, I give you 2 years, and you've been here 10 years. Don't tell me about these bitter cups. Go and drink it. Jesus is right there with you. Hallelujah. What cup came with your calling? What is God calling you to do? Don't be afraid. Step out by faith. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If you don't think he can do it for you, look what happens. When you're going through something, who keeps you in the midst of you going through it? He keeps you in the midst of going through it. He keeps you in the midst of going, oh, Lord, have mercy. But he didn't just step in when they came to get you. He's been there all the time. He didn't just show up when you showed up in the garden, when the soldiers came, when they came with the weapons and stuff. They thought you were at your lowest point, but they didn't know where you had been. They thought you were at your lowest. They didn't know you had stopped by. They, oh, my God. Folks don't know. They saw you last Sunday. They said, oh, they ain't going to be back. They're all messed up. Their marriage all messed up. Their ministry all messed up. Nobody want to talk to them. They don't look right no more. They ain't walking right. They ain't talking right. But they don't know. They saw you this Sunday. They said, Lord, have mercy. They didn't know you had been in the garden. They didn't know you had some folks to pray with you and pray for you, and they fell asleep. They didn't know that. But you knew God neither slumber nor sleep, so you went there and got renewed. And you wash your face like David said, oh, my baby dead, let me wash my face. I shall go to him again in the future. Let me do what I keep it moving. I got to do what I got to do. Know where your help comes from. People want to help you, but know where your help comes from. People will pray with you, pray for you, but know where your real help comes from. There's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a point in time you got to go where the real help. This is a spiritual thing. Stop leaving a spiritual assignment on people just like you and I. Go to the throne. Say, God, you gave me this assignment and it's rough. I need to be empowered. I need to be renewed. There's people here, family members. People been dying. People sick. And they asking us, take it to the throne. Stop trying to explain to folk what's going on. Just tell them, take it. If God don't give you a word on it, stop trying to take it. Because you need some power. You need to be empowered. You need to be renewed to go through what you got to go through. And sometimes stuff happens in your life, and sometimes you tell yourself, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You ever had somebody real close to you say, Lord Jesus, that thing hit you so hard, you don't know how you're going to make it. But you're still here. Guess why you're still here? Because you took it. Find your Garden of Gethsemane. You can't find it from Fox and Roach. They don't sell Gardens of Gethsemane. You can't find it from Century 21. They don't sell them. And go there often. The key is go there when everything's all right. Make it a habit of going to your garden. And have a little talk with Jesus. Feel the prayer wheel turning. Feel the fire burning. Having a talk with Jesus makes it all right. Let us all stand. What cup came with your call?